Venerable Bhikkhus, brothers and sisters, the discourse this morning, today, also will deal with a general subject. After that, I intend giving you instructions in regard to various defilements you will have to overcome by insight knowledge in practicing certain aspects of meditation. For example, to give up the idea that there is a being in you, that is Sakkhaya Ditti, the personality feeling that you have. You have to differentiate between mind and matter. I shall give you instructions as to how you should do that. Likewise, to confirm that feeling further, that there is no being in you, you would be practicing cause and effect, how you commit activities, and that too a description will be given to you for your knowledge. Then, in practicing nama-rupa, differentiating between mind and matter, also arising and passing away. Likewise, to every stage of development you will be aspiring to, I'll give you instructions how you should practice your insight knowledge to overcome defilement. That will be useful to you. Be useful to you in time to come, when you are sufficiently developed for you to perform the task of instructing others, because details will be available to you as to how you should instruct the beginner about his manner of finding out what is mind and matter, or how certain act is committed causally or as cause and effect, or how he should satisfy himself that everything in this world, all component things, are subject to constant change, arising and passing away. Such details I shall try to give you so that you have recorded them in your cassettes and you can play and then learn them. Today I will be dealing another important subject which you should know, and those are the five hindrances. There are five hindrances that hinder your progress along the path. These hindrances are, they perform two functions. Unless you have developed your samadhi, one-pointedness, it's rather difficult for you to pursue your insight knowledge for truly understand the nature of Dhamma and realize the truth. Therefore, these hindrances, they will not only hinder your progress along the path for developing yourself to reach the goal in the way of attaining Nibbana, they initially hinder you from developing your one-pointedness. So knowledge of the hindrances is useful to any aspirant, for he will be warned earlier that there would be instances like that obstructing your way when you practice one-pointedness. At the same time, when you proceed along the path to gain your insight knowledge, to finally realize the truth. There are five hindrances. One is sensual desires. Two is aversion. Three is topo. Three is topo. Four is restlessness. And five is doubt. As human beings, we have led the worldly life. In all our activities, we have encouraged continuity in this world. And to that effect, the six sense bases, the experiences you have gained through them, maintain that object clearly. And that is to search for sensual pleasures, sensual desires, satisfy them. In seeing visions, your eye helped you to do that. In hearing various sounds of noises, sounds, the ear too helped you in that. In smelling various types of smells, it brought about pleasant sensations in you, in smells. The tongue experiencing various types of tastes satisfied your sensual desire of taste. Contact too, that too satisfied you immensely. And so are the thoughts that you created about experiences you have gone through in pursuing sensual desires. Either you enjoyed them subsequently in reflecting on them, or if they were experiences that create an aversion, you dwelt on those also and then lived in aversion. This is the pattern of behavior of a normal human being. In all these experiences, Buddha himself admits the fact that a human being feels, he enjoys feelings. That is a natural conduct of the human being. Only thing is, the human being, in pursuing feelings for enjoyment, he pursued feelings through the six sense bases that led to present sensations, enjoyed them, and created a thirst for more and more. That is the act that is objectionable in the enjoyment of feelings. Creating the thirst for more and more, which you call the desire. When you like a thing and you pursue it and live in that liking, enjoy it, naturally you create a taste for that and look forward to experiencing more incidents of that nature for your satisfaction. And that created always a thirst for such sensations. Your eye provided that. Your ears provided that. Your nose provided that. Your tongue provided that. Your body provided that. And also your mind provided that. In fact, these six sense bases are your gifts to enjoy such desires in life. We have to admit the fact that this body which we possess and the mind also which we possess are not things which are meant for one's liberation. They are meant for continuity in this life of yours. Either as a human being, if we have born as even an animal, that animal too has certain present sensations which you search for. Deities, they too have. Even the luminous beings live in present sensations and cheer, piti sukha, in their enjoyment of the absorptions. Therefore, it is a quality of the bhava, that is, the different worlds a being lives in pursuance of sensual pleasures, or where your desire completely controls your existence. In those existences, the worldling always look forward to the promotion of sensual desires. At the second stage of your development, along the path leading to Nibbana, that's the once eternal stage, you get the opportunity of giving up half such desires, so to say. And the balance you give up finally at the stage of non-return. Then you are freed from births in this bhava, existences. And you, after your death, will be born in one of the five worlds where your birth is a spontaneous birth without the normal parents having any part to play in. It's a spontaneous birth. There you have no sensual desires or pleasures. There is one road leading to Nibbana where you pursue that road and liberate yourself. One would ask the question, why are these sense bases provided for us? They are provided as equipment to you when you lead the worldly life to fulfill your desires. The worldly life is meant for continuity. It's not meant for one to search a path for one's liberation, finally to get out of this cycle of birth. The bodies and your mind are both contributing to that. We cannot refer to the period when we would have entered this cycle of births and deaths, because that is not a thing that one should probe into, because what is important is to deal with the suffering you are subject to now, and not to probe into the past and try to trace how you were born, when you were born. You are subject to constant suffering now. And the pattern of life that has been constructed or built naturally for the being to constantly suffer is through the six sense basis. That is something which you must give thought to and carefully understand. These six sense bases provide you with certain present sensations. At the same time, they very carefully lead you, your life, along a path where you are constantly subject to suffering. When we consider that, we can say the sensual pleasures we enjoy are, they act as a bait for you. Why do they act as a bait for you? Always encouraging you to look for sensual pleasures. So as Buddha said, there is enjoyment in the present sensations. Therefore you look forward to present sensations through the six sense basis. Forgetting the fact that not all experiences are leading to present sensations. Some experiences lead to present sensations, others lead to the creation of aversion. And these two things contribute to the creation of desire. Now follow this carefully. There is an encouragement given to you by the six sense bases to look forward to present sensations, to enjoy the present sensations. For such enjoyment is done in the ignorance of the fact that everything arises and passes away. You enjoy the present sensations because you always feel that they are, ever they are, permanent, satisfactory, and continue to exist. That's the wrong notion you have as a worldling. You have the right attitude that they are impermanent, unsatisfactory, and would not continue, then there is no enjoyment in any such sensation. But this ignorance is playing on you. In each experience you gain through the six sense bases, your objective is to satisfy yourself. You look forward to that. Because the worldling accepts things as permanent, satisfactory, and existing, continue to exist. That's the wrong notion a worldling has. So as a human being, you enjoy this present sensation. Not in all circumstances that you would be given an opportunity to enjoy, but there may be instances where you may meet with disappointment. So the object is not your satisfaction. And in such instances, you find the opposite taking place in you. That is, opposite to the enjoyment is a creation of a certain aversion to the object. A human being, he lives his life on these two extremes. He is provided a six sense basis. He looks forward to objects of enjoyment. Not all objects are satisfying. Not all objects bring you enjoyment. There are many occasions when you fall into the other extreme of creating aversion because you are disappointed on not being able to enjoy that object. These are the two extremes the worldling lives, created by the thought. It's your thought that enables you to fall into these two extremes. There is one thought arising about an object which a sense base has received, which gives you some satisfaction at the moment. The next may be an object which you receive another sense base which gives you dissatisfaction. So constantly you are in these two extremes. That is the path followed by the worldling. Now that he has enjoyed, he builds up always hopes of enjoyment, looking forward to enjoyment. Though he very often falls into a state when he is disappointed because what he expected did not happen. But his thirst for enjoyment is very powerful. Therefore he overlooks many disappointments he receives because his thirst is very powerful and completely controlling his life. He goes on like that. Now if you look into this carefully, why were these six sense bases provided to this human being in this manner? Object is to create this desire. Object is to create this desire in you. which is a cause for your continuity in the life of birth and death, cycle of birth and death. This eye is the cause. We look forward to always searching desire, a searching present sensation to satisfy desire, and invariably fall into the other extreme of getting disappointed and creating an aversion. But the present sensation that gives you an experience of comfort, satisfaction, that encourage you to look forward to more and more of that. Maybe disappointment may take place immediately after that on many occasions, but still you will not give up the hope for looking forward to comfort, and you pursue your line of action. And what are these six sense bases doing to you? These six sense bases, like the carrot that is being held before the horse in full expectation of the satisfaction he would receive in having that carrot for himself as food, he goes after the carrot. You may lead the horse anywhere with the carrot held in front of him, because he is looking forward to consuming that and having satisfaction for himself. In the same way, the six sense bases are holding before you a carrot. Come, 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 it will give you satisfaction. And you, in your ignorance that you are, being led astray, in your ignorance that those present sensations are also of a temporary nature, they rise and pass away, you go after them. On many occasions you experience disappointment. Once in a way you may get an opportunity of enjoying something. But the world you have created all around you is full of such occasions, you see, where you can search for present sensations. That's your own creation. You created the world. You live in that world. And that also as a result of desire. Therefore, in this world you have created, there are a lot of desirous things, and which you always look forward to enjoying every minute of your life in this existence. These six sense bases are performing their functions in that manner. You very well know that the six sense bases are performing their functions in affording you an opportunity of enjoyment or creating aversion as a result of a thought that is created in you. And in that thought there is the five mental factors which create the thought. Consciousness by itself cannot create a thought unless it produces the five mental factors which perform their tasks and create the thought. In regard to any object, the sense bases are confronted with. To enjoy that object, either in the way of having a pleasant sensation about it or an unpleasant sensation which is the outcome of a disappointment, not being able to satisfy yourself with the result you received in performing the functions of sense base about that object, you fall into the other extreme of creating an aversion. In all these instances, it is the thought that you create that affords you the opportunity. In the thought of the five mental factors that help to create the thought, there is a mental factor feeling. Mental factor feeling just gives you a notion whether you like the object or not like the object, that is all. And that is part and parcel of the thought that is created to enable you to see or hear or smell or taste or contact or think. And once you get that idea after you see or hear or smell or object perform the other sense activities and experience the object, then you are not leaving it alone, because you are a person as a worldling seeking for satisfaction, comfort, enjoyment. Therefore, when you come across a case where there is an object you have experienced as something to your taste, then there is this so-called being in you who seeks the satisfaction. He pursues it. He pursues it and tries to enjoy it. In all six sense bases, this performance takes place. It is just not merely act of seeing or act of smelling or act of thinking or act of, let's say, tasting or act of contacting. It's just not an act. Sankara is more than an act. Sankara is you have committed an act, and not just the outcome of circumstances, but having created the being in you, he has committed the act of seeing, act of smelling, act of tasting, act of contacting, act of thinking. It's he. Why do I say that it is he, this imaginary person in you? Because the very thought that creates in your mind in order to experience that sense base, that thought, very thought, creates this being. Therefore, this being is there from the time you experience the sense base activity. Present in you. Effectively performing his act as a being, responsible for the dissatisfaction or satisfaction he experienced through the sense base. And it is this person, this so-called imaginary Sakkaya Ditti, this personality which you have created in the nature of a being present in you, who then pursues this, if it is to be enjoyed, to enjoy it by producing more thoughts, if it is something in the nature of a disappointment because you expected enjoyment but it's a disappointment, and you create a certain distaste towards the thing again by production of thoughts. Pursuing of enjoyment by producing more thoughts would lead you to craving, lead you to craving. More and more, look forward to more and more enjoyment. Production of thoughts of aversion will lead you to create an aversion at disappointment. And these are the two extremes that feed the desire, that maintain the desire. So in your using the eyes, you commit this act. In using your ears, you commit this act. In using your nose, you commit this act. Using your tongue, you commit these acts. Using your body, you commit these acts. And using your thinking process, you commit these acts. One would ask the question, why a thought of attachment or such persuasion is not done at the very inception when your self-based confronts an object? There is the function that has to be performed first. What is that function? To see with your eye, to hear with your ear, to smell with your nose, to taste with your tongue, to contact with your body and to think. These things, these six sense bases, perform six specific acts. And the thought that instantaneously created at the time you contact the sense object through a sense base, perform that act. It has no other opportunity to do anything else other than to commit the act of seeing, commit the act of hearing, commit the act of smelling, commit the act of tasting, commit the act of contacting, commit the act of thinking. That is the task he has to perform in the first thought. And that's a spontaneous thought. A thought which arose in you immediately, just spur of the moment, without any preparation at all. In that thought you committed the activity of the six sense bases. Then one would ask the question, when does this so-called perceiving of present sensations and perceiving of unpleasant sensations occur? Brothers and sisters, they occur after you have committed the act of seeing, committed the act of hearing, committed the act of smelling, committed the act of tasting, committed the act of contacting, and committed the act of thinking. So after that, new thoughts are created in pursuance of comfort or to pursue the disappointment in the way of creating aversion. That's another activity, completely different from the original activity of creating a thought to experience a sense-based activity. That is why it's clearly stated that the desire, which is a very, very powerful defilement in you, which leads you from birth to birth, which you have to get it off, which your aim is to get it off, is something which is created subsequently and not immediately in the act of performing the activity of the six sense bases, by creation of additional thoughts. That is why you are in a position to stop that activity. If in the instantaneous activity of the creation of mind, a thought in you to experience something about a sense base, if that happens, then there is no opportunity for you to stop that further activity creating or supporting desire. In the prospect of creating a thought to experience the sense object, there is no desire. A spontaneous thought created. And it is the subsequent thoughts you create and pursue this enjoyment or pursue the disappointment, leading to the creation of desire or attachment or aversion, that provides the food for the maintenance of desire. That is completely different set of actions. That is why you are in a position to stop that. By stopping your desire being created, you are not obstructing your activities, the sixth sense basis. You can see, but need not promote desire. You can smell, you need not promote desire. You can smell, you can hear, you need not promote desire. You can taste, you need not promote desire. You can think, you need not promote desire. Isn't that how a liberated being exists in this world after his liberation? He uses his eyes. He uses all the sense basis for his existence till such time he passes away. And in that existence he doesn't create any desire. Why? Because he stops the activity from seeing, stops further activity from after hearing, stops further activity after smelling, after tasting, after contacting, after thinking. How does he do that? He does that by immediately realizing that that object is something impermanent, something unsatisfactory, something that does not exist, continue to exist. That realization is very clear in him. If that realization is very clear in you, will you pursue that object further and try to create an enjoyment out of that product which is not existing? The object which is not existing? You don't have that realization in you. Therefore you are foolish to let to pursue the experience further and create present sensations or create an unpleasant sensation if it is not to your satisfaction. Now it's very clear before you that desire is something which you are maintaining as a result of not intelligently understanding the activities of the sixth sense basis. The sixth sense basis are meant for continuity. And this satisfaction of sensual pleasures is one of the obstructions to you to your development. After all, your development is completely aimed at one specific act. What is that specific act? Give up desire. Give up desire. Who produces desire? Your eye produces desire. Your ear produces desire. Your nose produces desire. Your tongue produces desire. And your body produces desire. Your thinking produces desire. These six bases, they are the equipment that produces the desire and maintains the desire. How did that happen? If you are not careful, if you are not mindful about the subsequent activity by the mind in creating thoughts of attachment or aversion, which promote the desire. If you are careful, if you are mindful, you will not permit that part of the activity by the consciousness to play in any of your activities. You see a thing and you stop at seeing. How do you stop at seeing? One of the four foundations of mindfulness, to realize that that is something impermanent. You hear something and after you hear, you do not pursue that act further because you know that that is something impermanent. In the same way, in regard to experience you gain to the sixth sense basis, you have the control either to promote the desire, maintain the desire by furthering the desire and creating thoughts of attachment or creating thoughts of aversion. In your hand, you have the power, and also you have the power to stop any further activity after seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, contacting and thinking by being mindful of the reality of the object. Fully well knowing that the object that has confronted the sense base is something impermanent. You don't proceed further. Can you ever enjoy an impermanent object? What is the pleasure you get by knowing that an object is impermanent, unsatisfactory and not continuing? It is something just for the moment arising and passing away. If you realistically see that object in that manner, maybe the most beautiful form that may appear before you, if you recognize that form as an impermanent form, unsatisfactory thing that does not exist but arising and passing away, would you have any satisfaction created in your mind by seeing that? Therefore, what is? You are the creator of all this. You create these things. Therefore, you must, this production of sensual pleasures, desires, is a hindrance to your progress. I explain this to such an extent so that you realistically understand how these sensual desires are created and who creates them. You create them, not be mindful. And if you are mindful, if you are realistic to the objects that appear before you, appear before the sense bases, you would not go to that extent of what you call creating and helping desire, promote desire, but check the further progress of desire immediately. These are the two extremes we fall into. Mind you, this attitude of the mind in falling into these two extremes exists in such time you finally liberate yourself from the cycle of birth. And that is the third stage of your development in insight knowledge, non-returnal stage. Up to that moment you will be subject to this very, very vital process of making you to leave this worldly life. Even the once returning, he still had to return once to this world and ends up his desire before he enters the non-returnal stage. Stream mental, of course, you will be subject to these two things of attachment and aversion. And after entering the stream mental stage, that is, once you have realized that stage of development, then you will be taking progressive steps to avoid this situation arising in you. That is, to stop unnecessary building of thoughts of attachment to aversion. You make use of the eye, but you will not think further than that. You only saw. You make use of the ears, that's all you only heard. You will not pursue that, pursue what you heard. You then enjoy a smell, that's all. No pursuing of that smell further than that. In trying to create more and more liking, attachment, or promoting an aversion to the smell you received because it was disgusting. In the same way with regard to other experiences, you would not be pursuing these activities further if you are mindful. Mindful is an essential quality in the path, and I emphasize that in my previous discourse to you. Therefore, these are the two extremes that the worlding is always led to. Two extremes are sensual desires and then the creation of aversion. Now Buddha says that even sloth and torpor, that tendency for you to slacken your effort, so much so to say that your interest is not there and you begin to fall asleep because effort is not there. That may be due to many reasons. Essential thing is that you do not have the right effort. Right effort is poor. Determination is poor. Perseverance is poor. These things are poor because you do not have that amount of devotion in you. Because devotion is also a contributory factor to encourage your activity in pursuing your liberation. If you slacken because there is not much devotion, not much energy to pursue the object you are searching for. Of course, sometimes it can be the result of the pattern of behavior. You food, if you take too much of food, then your brain becomes very sluggish and not function in the normal way. Then your other circumstances also, for instance, if you are always disturbed by something like that, this sort of thing contributes to this sluggishness and the torpor. It may be that in early stages of that you may pace up and down and avoid it. You may take other steps like washing your face and exercising yourself a little by walking up and down. You may find the real cause, you see, and then try to get over that. And there have been instances where even Buddha has instructed certain, because he was really a victim to circumstances and very sleepy, to overcome that by resting for a short period. You can't fight against it. Purposeless in fighting against it. Give into that, rest a little, come back, wash your face and come back and make the effort. Then the opposite to that is restlessness. You are restless. Why are you restless? Thoughts are interfering, obstructing you from achieving your object of fixing the one-pointedness. Body is also very restless. You must realize that and try to find out why you are restless. If there are objects that disturb your mind very, very often, as you sit for your meditation, think of those objects. What are these objects that disturb me always? My home, my parents, or my job, or something like that. think of that. What can I do? I have come all the way here to apply myself, to develop my mind and search for my liberation. What is the purpose in thinking of my job from here? What can I do from here? These, all those are just imaginations of yours. Realistically understand what you are doing. Yours is not for continuity, you are meant for, let's say, liberation from this cycle of birth. All these activities that are worrying you now are all supporting the continuity. Ask yourself the question, is that my aim in life? Is that the purpose for which I came here? All this distance away from home, because I have suffered enough, and there is a clear path before me, shown by Buddha, for me to follow. I have all the faith that that is a very clear path and I should follow it. These unnecessary thoughts that come and disturb me, make me restless, they are all my imagination, nothing else. Also, I will not be here forever and never, I will be here for a short period. Once that period is over, I will be getting back to the job again, or to look after the interest I am worried over. Likewise, you must be able to satisfy your mind. And I would say that, instead of sitting and thinking over these things, try to convince yourself about all these items that make you restless as things impermanent in this life, unsatisfactory and soulless. They are not permanent things, they are temporary creations in the mind. Overcome them by realistically understanding the value of those things that make you restless. There too I would advise that pace up and down a little after thinking about them, giving thought to them and realistically understanding your position, and also realistic value of those objects that make you restless. Then clear your mind of all these things and sit down for meditation. Then the fifth one is doubt. You're doubtful about your path. Always saying, am I right? Will it lead me to this position? Would it be that it is something else? You have also gone before many others, maybe in search of the truth, and they have spoken to you about many ways of achieving that. So you begin to give values to those expressions also. So and so said this, that we should do this at this stage. Now I am being told that we should do the other way at this stage. Now which is correct? Likewise, creation of doubt about the path you are pursuing. And doubt will be an obstruction to you. You're not confident about yourself. Confident about the Dhamma that has been taught you, showing you the path to follow. Could be something else like that. But doubt is also very bad. Doubt about Buddha's great wisdom. Doubt about the Dhamma he has taught. Doubt about the achievements by the Sangha. Doubt about the karmic way. Doubt about other aspects of the philosophy taught by Buddha. This would create certain obstruction to you in proceeding along the path. You should have full faith in what you are doing. I know I am happy that I have come across this and I am leading the right path, following the right path now. Build up such confidence in you. Then that confidence will clear any doubt in you which would be an obstruction to your development. Bear in mind, these hindrances are also hindrances to the development of samadhi in you. Sensual desire, certainly, it hinders your development of one-pointedness. Always, mind is, you are trying to fix it, but the mind is being carried away by an experience you have gained through a sense base. I saw a beautiful figure there. I heard a very attractive voice singing a certain song. It created a lot of feelings in me. That sort of thing you think about experience you have gained through in the past. And such thoughts create sensual desires in you, and that becomes an obstruction to one-pointedness. The same way, aversion too. So these are two subjects again that obstruct your development in samadhi. So is thought and torpor. They are also you don't have that natural urge in you to make an effort to fix your mind at one point and proceed along that. It's half-heartedly you do it. and invariably you will find, as you go on doing it, doing that, falling asleep. When you experience such weakness in yourself, get up, walk about, wash your face, divert your attention to something else, and then build up your energy so that you can sit again after some time. If you go on pursuing, you get up, little while later you again see that your hand is bending the other way, again get up, fix your mind at one point again, now head is bending forward in front of you. Sometimes you knock your head against the wall also. Well, such activity will not help you, brothers and sisters. If you come across a situation like that, what is the purpose in sitting there? Get up. Walk briskly. Promote better circulation of blood in your body. Get back to your kutiya, good wash. Wash your face or wash your body. You are quite fresh, have a cup of tea if you wish to. Come back and sit down again. You are fresh again to pursue your activity. Because you can't fight against that sort of weakness in the body. Because it tends to recur. You may make up your mind, no, I must sit. And you go on with determination sitting. But little later you forget that determination and you fall back again to the old order of things. So you have to get that clearly out of your mind. And that can only be done by, you see, completely changing your effort to something else. Keep yourself fresh and keep away this sleepiness in you, tendency for the mind to lose its determination and giving in for the bodily need to give the body a little rest by being, by forgetting the world around you, which is the creation of the mind. And the mind also goes to rest with the body. Therefore, brothers and sisters, even doubt is also, if you are doubtful about, for instance, the exercise you are doing, try to bring your mind to one-pointedness. Well, can I do this? Is it the correct way? So-and-so told me something else, but it should be done this way. Likewise, if you have doubts about what you are doing, that would also be an obstruction to you achieving something. So these are hindrances that hinder you from progress along the path. In your insight knowledge as well as the development of samadhi in you. These are called hindrances. Be aware of them. And also be knowledgeable about the action you should take in regard to overcoming them. This knowledge is very essential. Because sometimes it may be that without your knowledge you are subject to one of the hindrances. And you in your ignorance permit that to overcome you completely and waste your time. Instead you can take immediate action when you feel that I am subject to this sort of obstruction, hindrance. The counter that I should take this action and do that and make further effort to pursue your development of wisdom or the concentration. Buddha in his development of the mind, the foundation of mindfulness on all dhammas, he commences the exercise. There are five exercises, five subjects of meditation introduced into that chapter. That is, once you have, in my opinion, you can achieve non-returner stage if you develop your mind on the first subject of meditation, having developed your one-pointedness. First subject of meditation is pertaining to the body. If you complete that, by that stage you will be getting your stream mental. You achieve that step. The next two subjects of meditation, to give up desire, attachment, aversion. In that two subjects have been mentioned by Buddha, that is to meditate on feelings and meditate on development of thoughts. In both these he has stated clearly that do not unnecessarily create thoughts and live on feelings and create desire or attachment or aversion, which promote desire. I repeat that when you are subject to feelings as a result of experiences gained through each of the sense bases, Buddha says, don't give in to these desires. consider them as impermanent, unsatisfactory and soulless, and drive them away, so to say. If you are subject to the desire, subject yourself to the desire, then you are promoting this attachment, or so to say, tanha, desire, promoting it. Therefore, when you get a feeling of or pleasant sensation or unpleasant sensation or a pleasant or no unpleasant sensation, in all these instances, mindfully analyze the subject that has given rise to such sensation as something impermanent, something unsatisfactory, something that is constantly changing. Thereby attach no value to it. Dispel it. That is when you get feelings. In regard to subject of thinking, Buddha says, when thoughts arise in you of attachment or aversion, or such like thoughts arise in you, again be mindful. A thought arises as a result of an object arising in the mind. Now analyze the object carefully. It is impermanent. This is unsatisfactory. This is not permanent, it's subject to constant change, no continuity in this. Therefore, what is wholesome in this? Nothing. It's just nothing. Therefore, you dispel it. So all thoughts that arise in you, you dispel. Fool, bear in mind, there are thoughts that you cannot dispel because instantaneous activity of the consciousness in creating a thought to enable you to perform the six sense-based activities, you can't stop. That automatically occurs without your knowledge. You may hear a noise like that. That's heard then, look, that's all. You are not pursuing that. But it's multiplication of thoughts on objects that you have received through the sense bases. In pursuing pleasant sensations or creating unpleasant sensations that lead to the creation of desire. Therefore, you are prone to seeing something, you are not pursuing that. Treat that object as something unpleasant, impermanent and unsatisfactory. Likewise, in regard to other objects that attract the sense base, you are not pursuing these things. All thoughts that arise in regard to these things, you are not pursuing, you are just leaving them aside. Now what happens then? In the four foundations of mindfulness, the two subjects, that is, enjoying pleasant and unpleasant sensations, or creating unpleasant sensations, is promoting desire. Creating thoughts and multiplying those thoughts leading you to a creation of desire or creation of an attachment also supports desire. Therefore, in both these instances, in the event of feeling arising, in the event of thought arising, you dispel that without further progress. This feeling is impermanent, unsatisfactory, and of no use, no continuity. This thought pertains to this subject, impermanent, unsatisfactory, no continuity. And you go on dispelling thoughts like that, thoughts of feeling, thoughts that arise in your mind pertain to the sense objects. Go on dispelling, 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 then you will see the consciousness begin to be aware. Unlike in the previous circumstances, previous occasions when you are ready to receive those thoughts, and live on those thoughts, now your adoption of this attitude of rejecting those thoughts discourages the consciousness from producing more thoughts. It reduces its speed of producing thoughts, little by little, little by little, little by little, little by little. When it comes to a question of 50% of such production is no longer existing in you because you have reduced that to that extent, then you enter the second stage of once returner. And once you have reduced the other 50% by being mindful, not permitting thoughts to occur, only thoughts that are spontaneously occurring in your mind as a result of sense objects being received, such thoughts, they occur and pass away, you don't pursue them. Additional thoughts of attachment or aversion you are not producing, then you will find the mind consciousness become very quiet and peaceful. To such an extent, brothers and sisters, even sense objects disturb the mind will not get disturbed by sense objects. Your peace and calmness in the mind you maintain, even not entertaining such thoughts. That is the very developed stage of your mind. Earlier you feel that you are not now pursuing unnecessary thoughts resulting from what you experience through the sense basis. That's the first stage. If there be any thought arising as a result of an experience gained through a sense base, you analyze that thought as something impermanent, something unsatisfactory, something not continuing, and discourage it from producing any more thoughts. And that is how you reduce your production of thoughts. In that aspect, you must bear in mind you are providing six sense bases to experience things from outside. And experiencing things from outside as objects of the sense bases, you are only producing a thought to see, thought to hear, thought to smell, thought to taste, thought to contact and thought to think. That's all. With that you can stop. That thought is merely providing you the means of experiencing that object. That's all. Other activity of pursuing that object further as something to your liking or something to your dislike is what you have developed in you as a habit. And it is that part of the development that you must check. No more. I'm not going to allow this to happen. I've been doing this, but I shall not do it in future. You see something, you check yourself. No, I shall not think about it further, either as something appealing to me or something which I don't like. But the question is how strong are you to take that positive step to stop further thinking? You're not strong enough. Therefore Buddha says, be mindful at that stage of mindful of what? Mindful of the nature of the object. That object is impermanent, unsatisfactory and does not continue to exist. That, make that the subject of your constant mindfulness. So that in the event of your creating a thought about what you see, creating a thought about what you hear, creating a thought about what you smell, creating a thought about what you taste, creating a thought about what you feel, contact, creating a thought about what you think, in all these instances, mindfully bring the realistic aspect of life of impermanence, unsatisfactory nature of things and non-continuity to the picture and close the chapter. Finished. Do not allow that consciousness to create more and more thoughts promoting desire or promoting aversion. You stop at that. And when you go on doing that, desire is not getting food now to exist. As I told you, desire is something which you have created in your mind and as an addition. It is not a quality of the mind. It is something which you have created and which you are maintaining as a habit. And habit is maintained so long as you feed the habit. Now you are not feeding the habit, you are stopping the feeding completely by bringing into notice, real notice, the realization of the truth. And what happens to the habit? Habit will vanish. Likewise, your desire, which you maintain as a result of the habit, by constantly feeding it, will naturally disappear, brothers and sisters, by stages. And you will only then use your eyes to see only, hear only, nose to smell only, and likewise, performance of the actually the six sense bases will be confined only to the performance and not to proceed foolishly in trying to create desire or aversion by unnecessary thinking. That aspect you stop. When you gain your liberation. Buddha says if you can dispel your desire, you gain your liberation. If you don't feed the desire, then you can stop your desire further developing. And thereby you gain your liberation. Brothers and sisters, this is a very, very practical approach. If you really understand how you create desire, how you promote desire, how you maintain desire, and the manner how you should act to avoid such promotion of desire, then you are well on the path for your liberation. May you all attain Nibbana. Thank you.